Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey. You'll find inspiration, support, and simple steps to help you on the path to a better life. Simple steps lead to real change. Here are your hosts, Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey.
Good evening, everyone. Are you feeling a little lackluster about your relationship? Have you been together for so long that you long for the time when it was new and fresh again? Do you know that you and your partner will always be together and you just want to keep growing together? Well, tonight we're bringing back two of our most popular guests, Marilyn Huff and Chuck Schmidt, the relationship specialists. But before we get going, hi, everyone. This is Cheryl Maloney. Kenny and I are here with you. We want to welcome you back. And since Kenny's in Texas, Kenny, are you doing okay down there?
We're doing all right. I managed to dodge the tornadoes where I am. Just sending lots of love and prayers to my friends that were not so lucky to avoid them. But yeah, they got pretty serious around here this afternoon.
All right, but you're safe up where you are. All your pets and your animals are good.
Yeah, all of my babies and my wife and everybody are doing just great up here.
Okay. So, glad to hear it.
Yeah. Get on track with the show, though, and help me get back on track. Just want to remind everybody that we do have live call-in tonight. The call-in number is 248-809-3474. That's 248-809-3474. Or if you would like to send a question to our special guests or Cheryl or myself and don't feel like talking on the radio, just send that to the email address, simplesteps@me.com. That's simplesteps@me.com. Now, before I send this back over to Cheryl, I just want to send out our deepest thanks to Brent Carey, who has made this all possible for us in many other wonderful shows through the Empower Radio Network. And then, to our producer, Bob Wittershein. He makes us sound good and keeps us in line and makes sure that we're behaving ourselves like we're supposed to. So thank you guys very, very much for that. And Cheryl, I'm going to kick it back over to you so that you can introduce our wonderful guest tonight.
And I will do that. Well, as Kenny said, tonight's guests, I'm just thrilled to have them back on the show. They were appropriately on our Valentine's Day show. As the relationship specialist, there's not a question that you could not ask them that would surprise them. They've heard it all. I first met Marilyn and Chuck shortly after moving up here to Oregon, and I'm lucky they're my neighbors. They're about two blocks away, which is real unusual. Oftentimes we talk to guests, and we only connect over the telephone or over Skype, but I'm lucky enough, Jack and I are lucky enough to call Marilyn and Chuck our dear friends. And when you meet these two, who are both life partners and business partners, what comes across is that they're total love and respect for each other. And the fact that they actually enjoy each other's company. If there was ever a couple who are as much role models as they are experts in relationships, it's these two wonderful people. So Marilyn and Chuck, welcome back.
Wow. Thanks, Cheryl. That was very nice.
Yes.
Okay, that comes from my heart. They're my friends.
Thank you.
And that's exactly how I feel. So we're thrilled to have you.
Yeah, and she talks about y'all this way when she and I are just talking. So,
your ears have to burn because we talk about you all the time. Marilyn and Chuck are coming back on the show.
Yeah.
Yay. So, I'm here. Well, I just dropped my phone. So, thank you very much, Chuck.
You remember we're live this time, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, thanks for coming back on and spending an hour of your time with us tonight, because I know that those that are out there listening on internet land are just going to be thrilled as they listen to your show tonight.
It is our pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, fabulous. Kenny, you want to kick off the questions?
Well, sure. With this being April and spring, we're talking about renewal all this month, especially in the newsletter. And Marilyn and Chuck, you guys submitted a beautiful article, and you commented about people that just don't feel that a good relationship should require any work. Would you care to elaborate on the do's and don'ts of letting your relationship just run its course?
Sure. I mean, I think that what happens generally is that when people come in, many times one of them will say, usually the man, "Well, I don't see why we have to be in therapy. if our relationship's a good relationship, it should just be, and we shouldn't need to put any attention to it. And that just simply isn't true. I mean, I always tell men especially, well, what if you bought a brand new car and you love that car? Would you not give it any attention? Would you not clean it, change the oil, you know, do the upgrades that you need to do as time goes on or the maintenance? Of course you would. And your relationship is no different. You know, you meet people, you fall in love, and there are going to be stages that you go through, and you need to be aware of it. I mean, you need to be aware of just letting your relationship, if it's just going along and a month or two or a year goes by and all of a sudden you're not feeling the spark, the absolute love that you once felt, you know, don't judge it. Just look at it and go, wow, I think I would like to, whatever the case may be, have a little more closeness, talk to you more like we used to, whatever it is that you're missing, and be able to talk about to your partner about that instead of feeling bad about it and thinking, uh-oh, something's wrong, you know, red lights are going off. Nothing's wrong. You just need to give it a little attention, just as you would your garden or your car.
Well, out of curiosity, where do you think that worry comes from, or that belief comes from, that you don't have to tend to a relationship?
That could be from multiple different places. We were talking about that right before we got on, and we came up with a list. They come from books. They come from movies. They come from Walt Disney and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. They come from the idea of soulmates, which soulmates is a new concept. It's not an old concept. People in the Wild Wild West weren't asking their partner, are you my soulmate? This is something that is just recent. So most of it is media, and some of it is for people who had really good parents and they saw how their parents just glided through life and took care of their kids and everything, and life when they were growing up was easy, and now it's a little bit harder because it's a little bit more complicated. And so there are many different ways that people get that message. And Kenny, you brought up something before we got on about chemicals in the brain starting this whole falling in love thing, and then those chemicals drop off after a certain point. And in that first stage, people feel invincible. They can stay up all night talking. They feel like they can read each other's minds. And then when it drops off and it's gone, people don't know what to do, because then it becomes work.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like raising children. Parents weren't given an instruction manual. You hope that they role model the good behavior of their parents, if their parents were even good parents. So the same is true in a relationship. If you have a husband and wife, and you know their parents, the spouse traveled all the time, and there was one person home taking care of the kids, they never really saw that dynamic in the relationship. So we don't come with instruction manuals, even though there's lots of books out there written about it.
Right. And everybody was raised in a different family. I know for me, one of the most difficult transitions was coming from a home where my dad came home at, say, 5 or 6 o'clock, I don't know when, and my mom had dinner on the table, and we sat down as a family and ate. My husband came from a family where his dad was a salesman, and he was gone 5 days out of the week. And when he came home Friday night, his wife was all dressed up, you know, and they went out and had dinner, and the kids stayed home with a babysitter. And that's kind of what he expected. And I was just like, really? It's a huge transition, but we don't all grow up in the same household with the same set of rules.
Well, and that is just a really great point, because you just said that. My husband, Jack's parents, he worked, came home, and his mom, and she was a cook, always had this ornate meal on the table because that's what she did. And in my family, my father worked during the day. My mother worked at night. She was a nurse. So there was about an hour of transition over there. So literally until they both retired, I never saw what their relationship was like, because they never spent a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. So, oh, that makes a really interesting right. point. Well, Chuck, I'm curious. So you brought up the subject of soulmates, and that's one I know I sit here and go, I can sit here and say, I know I was meant to spend my entire life with Jack. He's my soulmate. But do you see an unrealistic belief with partners who think they're soulmates, that they just don't have to do anything anymore because it was destined?
In some people, yes, we do. In some people, they have more of a grounded belief that soulmates mean they're just destined to be together and go through life and handle anything that they want. In fact, I have a cousin who feels like his wife is a soulmate, but he's very involved in his church. They've been married for 35 or 40 years, and he said, when I got married, I knew she was the one, and it just made my whole life easy for me because I knew he would handle anything together, and they do. I think what you're asking, though, is the other people that come and say, oh, we're soulmates, and we're destined, and life is going to be bliss, and then they don't have enough money to pay the bills, or they have their first major fight, and somebody leaves the house, or they have a baby, and this doesn't feel like a soulmate anymore. This feels like mm-hmm. life. And those are the kind of people that we could help, but they just need a little bit more education.
Well, they put an extra pressure on themselves because they think because they are soulmates that it should be perfect. And just yeah. because you're soulmates doesn't mean it's perfect. You still have to do the work. It doesn't mean you're going to agree with each other all the time and everything is a bed of roses. And I think that's how I was looking at your question. Were more, did they, I think they just put extra pressure on themselves. So even more than just the normal couple, they think, hey, we shouldn't have to put any work into this, or maybe we're not soulmates. Maybe I mm-hmm. should question that assumption that yeah. I had about you.
Yeah, if it's not perfect, maybe you're not the perfect one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And you just don't want to go there because we don't have perfect relationships. Perfection is who we are just because we exist, not because of right. how we work together in a relationship. There is no perfection there. It's perfectly imperfect.
Well, and just as individuals are a work in progress, so are couples. You know, that's
yes, we all know that, don't we?
Yes, don't we?
That's something that happened with one of my clients last night. They said that they wanted to reach the goal, and the goal was, oh, we have a happy relationship. And I was talking with them, and they finally realized that there really is no goal. And in fact, they can have mileposts along the way, and happiness is when our children graduate and they're gone from the house or whatever. But there's really no end point for a couple. Couples just keep evolving and evolving and evolving, and we don't even know what the end product of an evolved couple would be.
We just know it keeps mm-hmm. getting better and better.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And don't we equate this to the same as we're on life's journey, so isn't that relationship just a journey?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's just perfect. Might not be the right word. It is a journey. It's hopefully a fabulous journey, but there are potholes in the road.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you look at it like that, life is a journey of relationships because you have relationships with your partner, with your children, with your neighbors, with your workers. If you're not in relationship, let's say you're even a hermit, but you still have a relationship with how you get your food. Life is a journey of relationships.
Oh, I love the way you said that.
Yeah.
I never thought of that, but you're okay. Something else for me to think of, Chuck. Thank you.
Well, in the article that you wrote for the Simple Steps newsletter, you compared a relationship requiring attention, much like the a beautiful garden. How do you help couples understand that they have to tend to that relationship garden?
Well, I think when you look at yourself and your relationship, you're always, people just by nature want more. I think we always want more. That's just who we are as human beings. And so I think, first of all, you let people know that it's a natural thing. So basically what that means is don't judge your desire to want more, to improve something, to improve your relationship as a bad thing, like, oh, something's wrong because I want more. Because I think that's innate in all of us. And if you worry about it, you're just going to get worried and it's going to upset you. I think that you can approach your partner in a way that's positive instead of negative. So if you wake up one morning and you want more out of your relationship, you wouldn't want to just go up to your partner and say, I'm not happy with you, or I want more out of our life. You know, instead, you would want to maybe think of something that you enjoyed doing with them and let them know that. Hey, remember when we used to, whatever, like the article said, take a walk by the lake after dinner. You used to hold my hand and we'd talk about our day. I really love that time with you, that special time. I'd like to start doing that again. What do you think? And start a conversation that way where you're including them and you're not acting like something's big and bad and wrong, but just, hey, I was enjoying your company and I want to enjoy it even more. What else can we do? And in that little piece, be open to alternative suggestions. You know, your husband or wife might want to spend more time with you, but they don't want to go for a walk. Maybe they want to take a bike ride or sit at Starbucks and have a cup of coffee. You know, who knows? But the point is being together and not the specific thing that you're doing. So I think you start it that way, where you're letting them know what you want and how that could be a positive thing for your relationship and not a negative.
And one of the things that we have found during our counseling sessions is that when they come in, there's usually one resistant partner. And they, Marilyn said it really well, that generally it's the man. Why do we have to work on our relationship? And the women seem to understand that it continues to grow. And how we help them understand it is by just giving them a couple different little steps, maybe teaching them how to listen, maybe teaching them how to say words in a different way. And they go home and they practice them and they come back and they say, that was really easy, and then they get a belief that things can change and get better. And then they can see how if they tend their garden, if they tend their relationship, they're going to have a little bit more happiness in their life.
Or they were going along and just got complacent, you know, just how you know how life happens. So maybe when you're first together, you're doing things together all the time and laughing, and then all of a sudden real life happens and you have to go to work or do the dishes or go grocery shopping, and you kind of let those things that you're doing take over. And all of a sudden you don't, you know, I could spend a half an hour with my husband, or I could get the laundry done. I could spend 20 minutes, you know, chatting with him, or I could run to the store and, you know, and you let those other things that need to be done that can be checked off your list become more important than the time you spend together, because you think that you'll have more time later that day or later that week to do it. And it never happens because our to-do lists get longer and longer. And it's just recognizing that if you put that time back, like if their homework assignment is to spend a half an hour together and they do that and they come back the next week and they're so excited that they've renewed their interest in one another, it's a whole new ball game for them and nothing's changed because they didn't even know that they weren't giving their relationship attention. They just knew that other stuff was getting done.
Well, you know, that's interesting. It brought up another question to me as you were talking, Marilyn. So what do you say to the couple who now has children and their priority, especially if the children are small, has to be to take care of the children? How do you help them find time for themselves again?
I think that's a really good question because that inevitably happens, especially for the woman, because women just innately have that need and desire to take care of their children, and they think that they need their attention 24/7. And the truth is, you can give your partner very little attention but still make them feel important. So you can take care of your children and still, when the time comes, give your partner a smile. Even if you're changing a diaper, you can smile and chat with them. But I think we tend to get so busy in our little child-rearing thing that we get rushed and frustrated and stressed and don't think we can give that attention to our husband, or we think it's another burden. Like women will often come in and say, well, now I have three children, you know, instead of two, naming their husband as the third. And it's only because they're feeling pressure instead of expressing love. Instead, they could say, honey, I'd love to give you more attention. You know, if you could change his diaper right now or give him a bath, we could spend a half an hour talking or watching that show you wanted to watch or whatever. It's kind of compromise and talk instead of getting mad and butting heads.
And our whole outlook on helping couples is to keep it simple, which is, I guess, why you contacted us.
We like that.
Yes. And the simplest thing that we can think of, and the one thing that we continually tell everybody, is that when you're coming together at the end of the day, reconnect. So, for example, if the wife is at home taking care of the kids and the husband's coming home from work, make sure that they greet each other at the door. Make sure that they get a kiss. Make sure that they spend a little bit of time just reconnecting. And if the husband wants to decompress for just a little while, he'll go away for 10 or 15 minutes, take a shower, check his email, whatever, but then come down and spend some short quality time with his wife so they're always reconnecting every day. And we found really great results with that one little simple step.
Right. Even if, you know, just to add to that, even if you're totally busy and miss the day, like maybe today I'm really busy, I can come home and say, honey, I'm really busy today. I'm sorry I'm not going to have time to do X, Y, Z, but tomorrow we will have breakfast together or we'll go get coffee or whatever. So they know you're thinking about them. That's the main thing people want. Let me know I'm a priority, even if you don't have time right this minute.
It all comes down to communication, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, okay. Well, part of what you all talked about, and I would like you to spend some time telling our audience, is the stages of couples' relationships. And talk a little bit, when you were writing the article, and Marilyn, I know that this is your brainchild, talk a little bit about the stages you see in the different relationships.
Well, I'm going to let Chuck go over that because he wanted
okay.
to.
But see how she takes care of me.
There you go. You know, she's just helping the relationship. Chuck, come on, bring it on.
Okay. Well, we, again, try to keep it really simple. There's a lot of different relationship theories out there as to how many stages. We like to have three stages. The first one is falling in love. That could include the soulmate part, where you're overwhelmed, you're obsessed with the other person, life is great, everybody looks great. And there was a really quick study by a salesperson, and she found that she learned how to get sales from people, and she put her steps together to teach people how to fall in love. But in doing these steps, she actually tried to measure how long people stay in that situation. And she found that men tend to stay in for an average of 4 months, and women tend to stay in that session for about 14 months. And then a car dealership hired her to see how long men love their car and women love their cars. And it turned out that men love their brand new cars for 4 months, and women love their brand new cars for about 14 months. So the second step would be what we consider the power struggle, and that's where life begins to happen to everybody, and you start to see little cracks in your partner, you start to pick up some faults, you start to not have great communication, and you want to be right. You still want to have your individuality, and that's where we put in the little section about if you can maybe put this little saying on your refrigerator, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? This one stage can last a whole lifetime, or it can last a short period of time. When you move out of this stage, you move into mature love, where you're both taking care of each other, you're both looking out for each other, the communication has gotten really smooth, and it just feels like it's been well greased. That power struggle stage is where all people come to see us, because it's the hardest one to learn. We're not taught how to work out of this in school. We're not taught by our parents. We're not taught communication skills. And if you can just think, would I rather be right or would I rather be happy, you might put aside your differences and come together and see what can come of the fight that's going on.
Well, Chuck, before you go to the third part of that, we're going to have to take our break. So we will be back here in just a few moments. Just to remind everybody, we do have live call-in tonight. So call us with your questions about your relationship. That's 248-809-3474. And we will see you guys in just a little bit.
Before there were computer games and HDTV, cram courses and teaching to the test, there was this thing called imagination, a tool so powerful it could transport kids on the most amazing journeys of their lives, from outer space to center field at Yankee Stadium. It is for these journeys that Destination Imagination was created, an extraordinary after-school program in creativity and teamwork for every child. At Destination Imagination, teams are formed and challenges are met with a whole lot of imagination. And while we can't guarantee it'll get your kid into Harvard or onto American Idol, we're pretty sure that Destination Imagination will be the most important journey they make this year. Maybe any year. Parents, teachers, start a Destination Imagination team by calling 888-321-1503 or visit destinationimagination.org. That's destinationimagination.org.
I'm home. And I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
Brought to you by Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
And now back to Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Just to remind you, the numbers that you can call in with your questions for our guest or Cheryl or myself is 248-809-3474. Or if you're a little bit shy and would rather email a question, you can do that at simplesteps@me.com. Well, before I so rudely interrupted you, Chuck, you were telling us about the stages of a relationship, and you talked about the falling in love and then the power struggle stage. I don't know if I interrupted you before you finished the power struggle.
I think the power struggle I finished, and I was going into what people call mature love or adult love, and we have found that not all couples reach that state, and I think that a lot of people that are coming looking for relationship advice and looking for relationship help are trying to get to that state, and they're stuck in the power struggle. They don't know it's a power struggle, or even if they do, they don't know how to get out of it. And so they have this ideal of what it will feel like. And again, sometimes that ideal might be a little bit unrealistic, that we'll reach soulmate stage when we get there. But for a lot of people, they just want things to be easy. And you've negotiated so much during the power struggle stage, if you've moved out of it, that your life does actually become easier, and then you start having people and friends say, you should check out their relationship. It's pretty cool, and it's something that Marilyn and I keep working on.
Well, but I'd be sitting here and saying, anybody that could get to know Marilyn and Chuck, and, you know, I don't sit there in your house every day, but you guys just have the coolest relationship because you talk, you laugh, you joke, and you negotiate, because I know you negotiate with each other, and it flows for the two of you. So you really are role models to all of this. Do your clients get it when you get to, I think it'd be cool if you have clients in there working with both of you together. Do they get to see that part of you?
They do, and they actually comment. In fact, people will say to us, you guys are having so much fun. You should be paying us. Because it is. We just go back and forth, and sometimes we'll just look at each other and go, did you hear what she just said? Blah, 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 and we'll have this conversation. And they just watch, you know, or Chuck will say something that I don't agree with, and I'll say, well, honey, you're really not understanding her perspective. And he'll do the same. Well, wait a minute. From a man's perspective, you guys aren't quite getting it, you know. And we do that in the session.
And when we work together, it really feels like play. When we're working individually, I feel more like a therapist. And when I work with Marilyn, I feel more like a playmate.
Well, now when you work on your own stuff, do you allow that fun to come in? Do you keep it light and fun, or do you find it real difficult?
Both.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Quite honestly. I mean, usually we can keep it pretty fun, and Chuck is the best at humor. I mean, I could be raging mad about something, you know, frustrated, whatever, and he'll come in and go, really? Or he'll make some stupid comment or face, and I will just bust out laughing, and it's done. It's just done. And other times when we're both stubborn, you know, we can have our normal fights like everyone else.
And I think we told you the last time that when we first got together for the first year, we did not do any of the things that we learned in school. We didn't do one of them. And then after a year went by, we did one thing and we saw how well it went. We just kept practicing over and over again. And so we're really high in the percentage side of being more humorous and fun and loving than the other. But I don't know if I've found anybody that's completely locked into the mature love stage where they don't have, well, maybe I haven't met Kenny's wife yet.
That's right. You guys have never had a fight.
That's true.
Never have. Yeah, she's an angel, so I have excuses.
Okay, Kenny, I would like to hear more about that because I don't think I've ever met anybody that has not had a fight. So can you tell us a little bit about what that's like? Because literally, I don't know.
Sure. I literally pinch myself because I've never had a relationship like this before. This one has lasted 18 years. We just passed that since we talked last.
Woo-hoo!
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. And but it's really wonderful. And she's a whole lot better at it than I am about keeping our ego and our need for power out of it. It truly is about choosing happiness over being right.
Right.
And you know, when you can go there from the heart, from the essence level, the power doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, and the only time it matters is if one of us, mainly me, gets caught up in comparing to somebody else. You know, if I compare myself to somebody else, that, you know, I might go, oh, I'm doing it wrong. But then I quickly come back around because I see what I'm blessed to have in Kathy. It is absolutely wonderful. So it's all purely from a standpoint of love, nothing about the ego or power.
That's wonderful.
That's awesome. And what you just said about comparing, we have found that that's a really big problem with people when they're comparing themselves to other couples or when they're comparing themselves to family members or even an image in a movie, it becomes a problem. I had one question, though, while you were talking. you mm-hmm. said she handles it really well, and you're the one that has the difficulty. How did she learn that?
I'm not sure. It's been part of her entire being, according to her family. She has always been just very compassionate, very empathic, very caring about other people. I know that when she was the first few years of her life, she was so sick that people just had to take care of her all the time, or she would have died. And her caring for other people grew from that. It was like she knew how fortunate she was, and she started giving back. And she, I literally, people see her and they go, she's just so incredibly sweet. And I'm going, yeah, and I see that from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed. So she truly is, I mean, 18 years, you would think some of that would have worn off by now. It hasn't. It hasn't. And I'm,
oh, lucky
I'm so,
you.
I am. I just walk around. I have her on a pedestal, and I make sure she stays up there. And I've built this little pad around her, so if she does fall, she's safe.
That's awesome.
Now, guys, how often do you run into that with folks that you're talking to? Do you ever hear the types of feelings one partner or the other has, as Kenny's describing? That seems to be very rare.
Well, you're asking therapists, and the people that we meet are having problems, so we don't run into those people when they come into our office ever.
Now, I want to tell you one of the things that's happened in our relationship. Kathy has always been, sweet. Like I've said, I've really put her up there. She really is like that. I wasn't. I mean, I was a hothead. I had a temper that got me in trouble as I was growing up that I really had to tame down. And the reason this relationship has worked, besides her being this almost as close to perfection as I could have seen, is the fact that she introduced me to some seminars before we ever got married. From that, we both went to a relationship seminar. We learned some tools, and we work it. We tend to our garden.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something as wonderful as she is and as great as our relationship has been. We have never let it just go. Mm-hmm. We're always working on it.
Well, for anyone that's out there listening in Radio Land, we're sitting here with people that have the greatest insight on relationships. From here's what Kathy and Kenny are doing, and they don't have all this background that Chuck and Marilyn have. And I just sit here and go, okay, I'm just going to absorb all of your knowledge. Because, Jack and I think are probably the normal couple, or I don't think we're in that competitive stage anymore. At least I hope we're not. But,
no.
I know of so many people that are out there that go on, how can I get through? My husband just wants this, and I don't want to do that. And we just can't seem to get past this stalemate. So when you run into couples that are at a stalemate, I like the idea that you say, okay, let's not look at this as bad. Let's look at how do we make this work. What do you tell people when they just say, we can't get past it?
Well, it's not only the stalemate, but I think the sentence we used first, and Kenny reiterated the same thing. Would you rather be loving, or would you rather be right? Would you rather be happy, or would you rather be right? Would you rather be in this relationship, or would you rather be right? I mean, it always comes down to that choice.
And what do you say to the person, Marilyn, that says, I want both?
People
do that.
Because
we hear that all the
time. Not right. I mean,
yeah.
So right is an attitude. I'm right and you're wrong. That's different than I need my needs met, and
absolutely,
I also would like to be happy with you. And I think both of those are possible. I think the attitude, I need to be right, is very destructive. Because right means that somebody else is wrong. And I tell my clients, if you're right and your partner's wrong, your relationship loses. If you're wrong and your partner's right, your relationship loses. The only way your relationship is going to win if you both feel like winners. And so the right-wrong thing just has no place in a relationship. You need to replace it with how do we both get our needs met and feel heard so that we're both happy.
Are you finding as you're talking with clients, and Chuck, you were and Marilyn, you were talking about the men are the ones that seem to have the bigger problem or tendency. Are you finding that they it takes a long time to get them off of needing to be right or in control or the dominant partner?
I don't know that it takes a long time. It takes the desire to want to be in a happy marriage and be with your partner. It's like you have to love them enough and be frustrated at your current situation to want to do something about it. Then the work is not so hard, because what I find is that the minute something shifts and somebody feels important again, because what do we all want, bottom line? We want to feel like somebody loves us. So when you see the first indication of that, which is, again, something as simple as saying I love you when someone comes in the door, or giving them a smile when you see them across the room, or saying to them, hey, I'm really busy tonight, but in the morning I would love to connect with you and have breakfast together, then you feel special again. Then you start feeling loved again, and then everything starts turning around. It's not that hard. People think it's this big, big shift has to happen, but it doesn't. It's the smallest things all put together over time.
And we tell them over and over, it's not easy, but it's simple. So there's right. many simple steps they can do. The not easy part is trying to get over yourself.
Right.
And
relate to that one.
When people are having a fight and they're feeling angry at their partner and they're doing something defensive, they're either running away or they're yelling and screaming, as much as they want that person to change, what they want more is the intense feeling that they have in their body to go away. So they're doing whatever they can just to calm down.
Right.
And if they can take responsibility for what's going on inside them, it makes it a lot easier. Oh, I'm feeling bad. Okay, maybe I don't have to yell at her. Maybe I can just say I'm feeling bad. And when they learn really easy things to do and they have successes with them, then it becomes easy. And then those guys that are saying, oh, this should be a lot easier than this, or I don't want to be here, they go, oh, that was great. And they're shaking our hands and loving us as they're going out the door.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it is usually the man that doesn't want to come in, but I find the minute they come in, after 5 or 10 minutes, they are relaxed and want more. It's just that initial, I shouldn't have to be here, and what's it going to be like, and that person's going to judge me. I think that's the initial, I don't want to do it, and we shouldn't have to. But I think once they get there, they're all in. They're, you know, I've never seen it different.
Well, do you work with clients where one person comes up and the other one just will flat out not show up? And if so, what do you tell the one that does show up that wants to work on it?
Well, we don't get to the point where they don't show up, but many, many times somebody will want to work on their marriage, but only one person wants to. The other one doesn't think it's necessary. I love working with just one person. It's so much easier. Because they can come in, you can teach them a couple simple things to do, which are the things we talked about tonight even. Pay attention to your partner, see what they're saying, see what they want, watch their, you know, eye contact, say I love you when they walk in the door, whatever it is. And when they start seeing that behavior change and the person starts getting happy and stronger inside, they want it. Okay, I want to go do that because you're happy now and I'm feeling better.
And we do get that question often. My partner doesn't want to come in. What do I do?
Absolutely.
Is it going to be worth it for me to come in? And we say relationships are usually in a state of equilibrium, and when somebody changes it, and whether the equilibrium feels good or feels bad, it's still in some kind of equilibrium. And when somebody changes that, the other person has to react. Sometimes they will move away if they don't like what you're doing, but oftentimes they will come around and it'll just raise the level of the relationship to a much higher state.
Then
guys,
the person that does
beautiful...
the work actually benefits from it all, no matter what the results. So
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a beautiful rainbow right outside our window. I just have to tell you that. Gorgeous rainbow. Wow.
Okay, we haven't had rain for a while. Okay, maybe a few hours, and the sun is out is what you're telling me, right,
right.
Marilyn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with having to close the blinds in my office because the sun is shining in, and I swear to God, it's because you guys are bringing the sunshine over the topic of relationships. It has to be all because of that. I sit here and I listen to the three of you talk, and I am so thrilled to be able to bring this type of and common sense isn't even the right way. This simple way of being able to address the issues in a relationship without making it feel like it's work.
I agree with you, Cheryl. I think that, and that's the biggest thing I find that is mind-boggling to me every time, that people that are in such pain and just so angry at their relationship and that it's not working and frustrated and they don't know what to do, and they will come into one session and learn just the simplest things that anybody could hear and do them, and they're better. I mean, not better their whole big relationship, but they feel better, which is all you need to keep working, you know, and have hope.
It keeps that door open, because I think you're right. It is some of the very things that we forget about that get lost in the course of everyday life that are so truly simple to do that, you know, and you keep saying this, you just smile to your partner when they walk in the door instead of frown.
Well, yeah.
Instead of telling them, these are all the things that went wrong, and this is what you have to deal with, and couldn't you have gotten home a little bit earlier?
Right.
And it's not a complaint as they walk through the door. It's like, I'm really glad to see you. And,
exactly.
And when you're done and things are quieted down a little bit, I'm going to need some help with some things.
Absolutely.
Just when you're ready. Yeah, the same things that I think we would want to happen to us, you want to be doing the same thing with your partner,
right?
Because don't they deserve the same amount of consideration that
Absolutely.
You want?
Yes. Well, it's just like when you're worried about somebody that isn't home on time, and you're worried, and oh my gosh, I hope they're okay. I hope they didn't get in an accident. Da, 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 da. But the minute they walk in the door, you don't say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here." You say, "Where the have you been?" You know, same thing.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that one's so true. My husband used to work really late nights. Like, they'd be doing computer installs, and it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning before he'd get home. Oh. And rather than saying, "Oh, I'm so glad you're home," it's like, "Where the heck have you been?"
Exactly.
Okay, you know where I've been. I've been working, but So
yeah, and you get mad at them instead of being relieved that they're okay,
right?
And showing that relief. Yeah, I know. We're crazy.
I know. It's so simple. And you'd think that the older that we got, the better. Well, wait a minute. It has been. I don't ask Jack that question anymore. Oh, wait, he works from home.
Well, I just wanted to tell everybody that when you get to that mature love stage, you do get that, "Oh, I'm so glad you're okay."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
and
do
Kenny,
get that.
You would
and
know that.
It takes a little work to get through that and, you know, to get to that level.
Well, and do you guys find it? I know I have, but if you have come through some type of crisis as a partner, as a relationship, not necessarily tied to the relationship, but a crisis within the family or the environment, all of a sudden you pull together a little closer because you realize what's important.
Absolutely.
The good example is Jack and I, because when he went, before he got cancer, we were going 100 miles an hour with work and everything else, and then you get to this point where you go, "Whoa, wait a second. There's something
right,
more
important to you." Yeah.
And you just don't, and to anybody out there, you don't want to get to the stage where you have this fear that you're not going to have your partner anymore because of something like that, to come back to doing the simple things that were important, like taking a walk at night.
Exactly.
Now, Marilyn, in your article, you actually said something about an idea jar. Will you just tell the folks listening about the idea jar? I love this idea.
I love that, because so many times I will give people the assignment to do something you used to enjoy together, you know, and I don't know what to do. It's Friday night and I don't know what to do, and my husband can't come up with any ideas, and they're stalemated right there. I'm like, "Well, you guys, come on. What did you used to love? Name some things. Oh, we used to like to go for walks, or go out for a glass of wine, or go to the movies, or go to the zoo, or go to whatever the thing is." And I tell them, get out a piece of paper and write all the things you love to do on the piece of paper that you could do together. It could be watch TV, do a puzzle. It doesn't matter. Whatever you love doing, cut those strips so that you have an idea on each strip of paper, and then put it, fold them up and put it in a jar. And then when the weekend comes or whatever, whenever you have time, just agree, we're going to pull one. If we don't come up with an idea that we both want to do, we're going to pull an idea out of the jar, and whatever is in, on that piece of paper, we're going to do. And then you do it. So you no longer have the, oh, I don't know what to do, and you end up staying home. Love that idea, because it just helps people. Yeah,
I really like that idea. And it's the same thing, I don't know about anyone else, but if we're going out to dinner, okay, where do you want to go? I don't
exactly.
know, where do you want to go? It's like...
Okay, but Cheryl, I need to chime in on that one because
okay.
a lot of times, and this is male, female again, a lot of times the men will say, I don't care, where do you want to go? And when we say that, what we're saying is, wherever you would like to go, I would be happy to take you. I would be happy to go with you. And what I hear from women is, they can't even make up their mind. They can't take charge. They can't do anything. And so we can't win. But so I've actually been through that with a number of different people, and they came up with some kind of little code or phrase or something where the guy can say, really, I love you. I want you to be happy. Wherever we go, it doesn't matter as long as you're happy. If you would like me to choose, I can do that. Which would you prefer? And so they work right through it. But in before that, it's just a little bit male-female type stuff.
Okay, Chuck, great. I got to tell you, I would have never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. I would have just thought about, can you just not make a decision? I mean, just make a decision. I don't care. Okay, Jack's down
that.
There listening. We have a new technique now, honey.
Well, that's a great
later,
technique.
Jack.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Our next one is we're going to Maryland and Chuck's.
Yay!
That in your
sorry,
jar?
Sorry, Kenny.
No, that's great. I was going to say that, you know, that I have some real good friends who have something very similar to what Chuck just described, and it's the twist on it though is that he's a traveling he's out on the road like 5 days a week, and so when he gets home, he really doesn't care anything more than just spending time with family. And, you know, because he's been out, he's been making these choices about what to eat all week long, and it's like, I don't want to choose that anymore.
Yeah.
But it's been the cause of several big arguments for them. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm thinking that would be a really good time when you walk in the door and you say, okay, I've had to make all these decisions all week. It's your turn. Whatever you want, I'm good with. Don't ask me to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. And throw in I love you in there, and that'll help.
And again, that's the communication we were talking about earlier, right? Just say what you want.
I like it. But Chuck, that's really good. It's like, I love you. I need you too. It's kind of like an argument. So we've had this conversation before. It's like, you know, you're my best friend. I don't want to fight with you. How do we talk through this? And then have, you know, set the stage. And that's what I love about you guys is that, you know, everything that you talk about, you look at staying positive and staying in a place where there's no blame. It's how do we put the positive light on this so we can all move forward. So that's what's kind of exciting to have you guys here. And it is hard to believe, but okay, Jack hates it when I say that, but we're at the end of this show already. The time has just flown by.
That was fast.
I know. So you guys are going to plan on coming back again. What do you think about June time, right about the bride time, the wedding time, so you can give tips for you think we could get you to do that again?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Just
go ahead and sign them up.
Sign them up. All right. Well, we're about ready to go to music. Chuck, Marilyn, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Yes,
you're so welcome.
And for everyone that's out there, thanks for being with us next week. On Tuesday, we're going to welcome Patrice Brooks in. Patrice has the Facebook page, Healthy Minds Conquer Unhealthy Matters. And when you want to talk to a positive person, you're going to love listening to Patrice. So have a fabulous week, everyone, and we will see you back again Tuesday night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.